A little bit of a clarification. The three big announcements that start off the tribulation have to occur early on. You can't do it later because people wouldn't have a chance to know what they should or should not do. So the gospel one, that's for everybody so they can avoid eternal wrath. The United States and prophecy, you've got to give the announcement before the time frame because there has to be a window of opportunity for people to exit the United States. They don't just make the announcement and then we get destroyed. There's plenty of evidence in these prophecies that there will be an exodus of people out of the United States. I'll place special emphasis on the Jews, American Jews. The second largest population and concentration of Jews on the earth outside Israel is in the United States. But when they leave and go back to Israel, of course, because when people leave here, to the best of their ability, they're supposed to return to the nation if they can. It's not always possible. To the nation that their ancestors migrated here to, from. So, and some of us are mixed, so we wouldn't know where we were going. We just had to pick a place. But the Jews obviously go to Israel. And there's information in Psalms. There's a whole psalm devoted to God raising up leaders among them to facilitate them to get out of here. And people will be able to do it. Things will be... God doesn't tell people to do something and then doesn't provide a way. It might not be pleasant. And it will be uprooting in every way. Because you have to understand, you're on a big adventure. And that adventure isn't that long. It's the seven-year tribulation leading to the rule of Christ on earth. And believers want to be in the best possible position to reap the biggest blessings. If they're going to go through this mess, then... That's what we do. So, then of course we got to tell people up front before this thing is implemented, don't take the mark of the beast. No, you don't tell them after it's already going. So these announcements will come bam, bam, bam at the onset of the tribulation. Now in our verse 2. Making this announcement before it ever happens by repeating the word fallen, as we've seen, emphasize that this is going to happen. It's a done deal, although physically it hasn't accomplished, been realized when the angel makes the announcement. He's saying it's going to happen. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Will he use the word Babylon? I have friends and acquaintances on doctrine that live out on Long Island in a community called West Babylon. So will the term Babylon be the exact word? Probably. Rather than say fallen is America the Great. And we have here an analysis of what the country has slid into. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit. So rampant demonism. Demons are attracted to certain types of corruption. And certainly, there's plenty of it in this country that's a magnet for demon activity. Demons go where the evil is, where it's in their hearts. They attach themselves to this. And through demon influence and demon possession, they can corrupt a place real quick. And a prison of every unclean and detestable bird. That's humans. Demons and humans. We got plenty of dirty birds in our country. Filthy, disease-spreading, corrupt individuals in all walks of life. All walks. Name an area, name something, and you will see it. And you don't have to go very far. Now, again, these words echo the judgment against this end-time entity as seen in various Old Testament prophecies. Turn to Isaiah 13:19. In fact, this whole section is dealing with chapter 13 is dealing with the United States and prophecy and its destruction. Way back then, it's revealed. This whole section called the Oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. Verse 1, lift up a standard. That was always something that was done in times of war. On the bare hill, raise your voice to them. Wave the hand that they may enter the doors of the nobles, the elite. I have commanded my consecrated ones. It means set apart ones. Who are they? I've even called my mighty warriors, the instrument that God uses to destroy America, are Russians. They're his consecrated ones. Doesn't mean they have their spiritual act together. He set them apart for this judgment. Russia has suffered a lot at the hands of the United States in its history. The Communist Revolution. And we went in there with Lend-Lease. Did you ever see a picture of Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt sitting on a ship together? No. And the Communists in Russia, they killed millions of their own people. All forms of religion just about were shut down. And we were involved with Lend-Lease. We were feeding the Frankenstein monster. And there's more to it than that, no doubt. The sound of tumult on the mountains, kingdoms. Verse 4, like that of many people. Are you looking at the verse? I'm in Isaiah 13. Like that of many people, a sound of the uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathered together. The Lord of the armies is mustering the army for battle. They are coming from a far country. Russia would be considered a far country from our perspective. From the farthest horizons, hey, that's up north. The Lord and his instruments of indignation. Instruments of indignation. A technology that only came into play in recent times to destroy the whole land. Not part of it, all of it. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. So we know it's the tribulation and not some other past historical thing. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will fall limp. And every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in shock. That's the Americans in the country at the time that the nukes come in. their faces aflame, burns. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. So we know it's a trib, right? Cruel, with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, not the whole earth. And he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises. Because all this mess that's in the air, all this stuff that's sucked up into the air as a result of these missiles coming in from Russia. Thus I will punish the world for its evil beyond the U.S. and the wicked for their iniquity. I'll also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold. This is an overview of the tribulation when it comes to the end. And mankind like the gold of Ophir. He's going to shrink the world population down to a very few, from whatever it is, 9 billion to way down, way down. Therefore, I'll make the heavens tremble and the earth shaken from its place. It'll affect the whole earth. At the fury of the Lord of the armies in the day of his burning anger. And it will be like a hunted gazelle or like sheep with none to gather them. They will each turn to his own people and each one flee to his own land. From where to where? I told you. And anyone who is found will be thrust through. And anyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their little ones also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Not standard rape like happened in warfare, where armies would come into a country and start raping women. No, this isn't physical, biological rape. This is nuclear rape. Behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them. Now, the enemies of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar, and of course, as we know, it was the Persians that overthrew it. And within, the Persians were divided into three ethnic categories. Persians, Medes, and Elamites. What were the Medes famous for? Archery. That was their forte in combat, shooting arrows from bows. They were famous. And all that comes from that area of the world today we call Iran. And so the Medes didn't play any kind of a role in the overthrow of historical Babylon. It was a matter of a commando team getting in there and getting into the palace and wiping out the leadership. It was a real quiet overthrow. Real quiet compared. No burning, no raping, no plundering. The Medes didn't do that to the Babylonian city. The people were left in place. So I'm going to stir up the Medes against them. Who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold. And their bows will mow down their young men. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb. Nor will they pity children. This is mass slaughter. And Babylon, the beauty of the kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride. Code, code, code. Who were the founders, the racial founders of Babylon? People called Chaldeans. So what do Chaldeans translate to in the code? I've told you over and over. Who founded this country? Anglo-Saxons. Out of Great Britain. You got your basic American history, you know that. The 13 colonies. Yeah. That's why we had this war, this Revolutionary War with England, to throw off that yoke, to be independent. Can you imagine reading this if you were and not having a clue? You say, see all the inaccuracies in the Bible? Yeah, right. Will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Got the comparison? How long did it take to overthrow Sodom and Gomorrah? In 1 hour or two in a day. Those sulfur balls that I got an example of one of them. I'm so happy I got that. I had a church member found it online. If you went to Israel and traveled and knew where to dig with a shovel, you could get a bushel basket of them. All of them didn't burn. God left them. He left some of them. These sulfur, magnesium balls that you don't find that in nature. This came out of the sky. Just in sheets, and so a bunch of it was on fire, and the heat was so intense it wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah in 1 hour or one day. Only Lot and his two daughters survived it. Yeah. His wife disobeyed the command. When you're walking out of here, don't turn around and look back. You know what some people can't do? Follow instructions. They're smarter than that, right? You say, what difference does it make? No. Some places, you know, I was thinking about that the other night. Last night, matter of fact. There are places I won't go back to. I left there. That's a part of my past history. I have no desire to go there. I'm going forward. And my last stopping place on this earth apparently is going to be Oklahoma City, Bethany in particular. So I went from South Dakota to St. Louis to Conway, Arkansas to Houston, Texas, and here. That's been my geographical history. And I'm not going back to those places. It's all in the rearview mirror. That's just me. I've seen pictures of my hometown. There in the southwest corner of the state, Hot Springs. It's a town captured in time. From the pictures I got received by my church members, and places like the school I was in, the grade school, and they made all the buildings out of this kind of sandstone way back in the early 19th century, early 20th century. They made it out of this sandstone. It looks nice. My high school is up on a high ridge, and there's a big viaduct that goes up to it. And then the lower part where the hot springs runs through, steam coming off of it in the winter. And up at the head of it is a plunge called Evans Plunge. You go in there on the coldest day in the winter and jump into that warm water. And all up down, there's a strip all the way up there. They even have the movie theater I used to go watch Hollywood classics in. They're on the street. And then up on the hill, it was my grade school. I remember when we had fire drills, they had a thing that came out that was metal enclosed, and we'd all slide down it. And we'd all pile up at the bottom. A bunch of dummies. One after another, just doing a fire drill. And it had a big, and we'd play out there and go back to our, it's a museum now. But there's no Walmart. There's nothing, you know, just, it's just captured in time. Our ranch was 20 miles outside the town. Anyway, off subject quite a bit. This sounds really mean to anybody reading it. You reading this? They're going to kill kiddos right and left too. Not any babies and children under age that die, that's my belief, is if, you know, like, let's say it's a newborn. And due to some kind of an illness, it doesn't get past age 2 and dies. It's got to go to heaven. God is fair. You can't expect somebody to believe it can't comprehend the gospel. You got to arrive at God consciousness. So that's one of those things I'm going to see if that's indeed the case. Somebody in my church told me back in the day, well, I just think God knew ahead of time whether they would or not. I said, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. Yes, they're born, like everybody, spiritually dead, imputed with Adam's original sin, and under a curse that will eventuate in hell and the lake of fire if you don't believe in Jesus Christ in time. So if you're out there listening and you stumbled onto this, I suggest you believe in Christ. I strongly suggest it. That's all you got to do to have eternal life and go to heaven. Don't listen to the rest of these dummies that tell you got to jump through 50 hoops. You got to keep the sacraments. Who can keep up with that mess? None of it's authorized in the Bible. You just believe in Jesus Christ and you're in. You get the biggest a person gets the biggest blessing for the least amount of effort. What's better than getting eternal life and escaping eternal wrath than one act of faith? Huh? What's the payoff on that one? There's no comparison. Now I want you to get this whole thing. The Babylon, the beauty of the kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldean pride. Read Anglo-Saxon. Will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Once all the nuclear is cleared out and it's safe and it's clean, and the Lord will clean up the earth, nobody can even come in here out of curiosity and do exploration, much less live here and start up another civilization. The whole of the United States, from coast to coast, border to border, nobody can set a foot in here. Nobody. There is no nation that I know of that has received that severe of a judgment that has this after effect. I was in the Sodom and Gomorrah area. By the way, it's going to be turned back into the verdant, beautiful, green place it once was in the millennium. And we're going to clear up all the salt and all the mess. But not the United States. What's going to be in the United States? A jungle of plants and animals. Got another verse that they're going to make their dens in the ruins. And the animals in this country will flourish in the millennium. Millennial animals will flourish. But nobody can come in here and do anything. People are capable of it, of starting over a whole, especially in the millennium. They're not going to be allowed to. My gosh, is that how serious our crimes are? That we have this after the effect? You can't even restart it up in any form of shape whatsoever? This wasn't true of ancient Babylon. When it was overthrown, it just kind of deteriorated. It wasn't true of Sodom and Gomorrah. Brenda and I jumped into the Dead Sea, right off of the shore. You know, the one that's got so darn much salt in it, you couldn't sink if you wanted to. And you better not have a sunburn or a scratch on you, or you're going to be in pain. And you can smell the sulfur. And they got these spas up and down there. One big white building. Cleopatra said to gone there and did these mineral spa treatments. And the Jews, they have ships out there. They don't last long. They rust like hell. But they're extracting minerals you can't find hardly anywhere else. So, it's going to come roaring back. Because before it was destroyed, it was at the very top of the most verdant agricultural area until these sulfur balls burning came down and reduced it to ashes. Angels administered that judgment in the day of Abraham. You could see the smoke going up. And because of Abraham interceding, Lot's bacon was saved. Though he didn't have a good life, because his God was money. He got it and he got jerked away from him. And he ends up ending his life in a cave and produces two children that form two of those nations that were perennial enemies of Israel, Moab and Ammon, by his incestuous relationship with his two daughters, who got him drunk as a skunk. I just report what's in the Bible. It's there. And yet in the New Testament, he's called Righteous Lot. What? He had plus R. He believed. When he was with Abraham and all that, he became a believer. But he never latched on to the true wealth. He just, you know, God was his money. It was, and he was stingy too. Never mind. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Nor will the Arab pitch his tent there. Nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there. But desert creatures will lie down there. And their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will live there. And shaggy goats will frolic there. Hyenas will howl in their fortified towers. And jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her fateful time also will soon come. And her days will not be prolonged. How about that one? That could not apply to any historical entity you could name. They got overthrown or destroyed or went by the wayside. This is prophetic end time destruction of the United States. And I'll let you go after this, but you can go home and read Jeremiah 15:51. I gave you the key to understanding it. Now you're not going to understand every verse. In fact, every verse there's some I have trouble with. What exactly is that? But in any case. That one, therefore desert creatures will live there along with the jackals. And ostriches will also live there. Jeremiah echoes the same thing. And it will never again be inhabited or dwelt in from generation to generation. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, declares the Lord. No man will live there, nor will any son of man reside in it. Period. Over and out. And that whole, and I'm not going to read it today. That whole chapter pretty much chapter 51. It goes back and see, when you read through this, it goes back and forth. It talks about the enemy. It talks about the results of the destruction, blah, blah, blah. So it's cyclical. It keeps repeating things and adding new little details. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.